Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is good to be here again tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad the Lord is here, though. That's really what matters. And, you know, I just couldn't help but remember I wrote yesterday my monthly letter. And anyway, you know, I was reflecting on some things that happened in the past. And it's our 40th anniversary as far as the newsletter is concerned. It was 40 years ago that it was first written in the month of June. And so, you know, I was kind of going back there and thinking of some of those moments way back then. And, when, you know, I mean, the whole thing was quite amazing because, you know, Pastor David felt like he, you know, he should write it. But, you know, whatever was going to become of it, we had no idea. We didn't have a people to circulate it to. And you know, what he did is he just used the first 200 names in the phone book. But, you know, God can take our little and multiply it and make it much. Praise the Lord. And it's quite a story how of those 200 names, there was a family that started coming to church here. And their daughter knew a young man that, you know, also read our newsletter, David's newsletter, and thought it was very good. And he sent it to another publisher. That publisher liked it, and he printed it. And then somehow it was printed in other publications. And suddenly we were hearing from people all across the United States of America and then around the world. And all I know is God knows how to do the things that are impossible with man. And, you know, he can take our little and make it much. And that is such a wonderful thing to know. But I am so glad that we can find a place where we can be in God's presence. He touches us, you know. He brings down his spirit. He puts the Holy Ghost within. And praise the Lord, he changes us. So we don't have to be, you know, like we always were. Oh, you know, all the fears, the doubts, apprehension, all the negative things can leave in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he gives his people power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, telling us that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Praise the Lord, that's our God. And we are privileged. We are so privileged to serve the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise our God. I'm so glad we have opportunity tonight. You know, sometimes you go through times when, you know, it's not, you know, you don't see a whole lot happening. But praise the Lord, God knows when it's time to move in a different way. And all at once, I know so many things can change. And that could be any obstacle in our lives, whether you're fighting for your health or, you know, your finances or, you know, just other needs that we have. You know, it can seem like quite a period of time when, you know, nothing is real clear and nothing changes. But we serve the mighty God, and he knows how to change our circumstances when it is time, all according to his ways and his will. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Praise the Lord, Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We exalt you, Lord. We thank you that we can find that place in thee, Lord. Oh, God, we can hide ourselves in thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, you know how to meet every need, Lord. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh, God, that you would minister to us tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that your word would speak to our hearts. Oh, God, and I pray that the strong man would be bound and rebuked, oh, God, and put, oh, God, away, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, for, oh, God, that day of judgment is coming. Oh, Lord Jesus, and I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us. Oh, God, that you'd move in us. Oh, God, that you'd change us. that you give us faith, Lord, oh God, that faith to go forward and to believe you, Lord, oh God, to know that with you all things are possible, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would work here in our hearts. Oh God, you know what we need as individuals. Oh God, you know every predicament, every circumstance, every health ailment. Oh God, every burden, oh Lord Jesus. You know every need, Lord, even before, oh God, we could mention it. And we thank you, Jesus. I pray that you'd work here tonight, Lord. Oh God, that you'd give me the authority, the ability, and the anointing, Lord, that comes from you, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, I pray that you work in our hearts. Oh God, I pray that you change us, oh Lord, and make us what we ought to be in you, Lord Jesus. You'd help us to get ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord, Lord. Oh God, that our lamps would be trimmed, that they would be burning, Lord, that our hearts would be made right. Oh God, that you'd speak to us, Lord. Oh God, make us what we ought to be in thee, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd work here tonight in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to go to one of the minor prophets here tonight, I believe, with the Lord's help. Namely, it's going to be the book of Zephaniah. But, you know, we're going to call this message Hid in the Day of the Lord's Anger. Hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And oh my, as we see these times, we have been seeing it for years, but oh, at this point, it's like it's never been before. And if we just can't, you know, realize in our hearts that the coming of the Lord is very close at hand, then I don't know what's going to wake us up. I don't know how we're ever going to be prepared if we can't realize the coming of the Lord is at hand. But His coming, though, His church awaits it and looks for it and longs for it, is a day of God's vengeance. It's a day of God's anger, and oh my, when God is angry, who can stop it? You know, it's going to be like a day that none have imagined. And it will mean everything to be right in the sight of God. Amen. Oh yes, to be waiting, to have our lamps trimmed and burning, that oil of the Holy Ghost there. Oh yes, to fill that lamp, so that it never, never runs out. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Okay, we are going to go into the book of Zephaniah, that minor prophet. Praise the Lord, if you will turn there with me. Praise the Lord. We're going to be covering the first chapter, I believe, and see how the Lord goes from there, hopefully into the second chapter a little. Praise the Lord. I'd like to say that the name Zephaniah means Jehovah hides or protects. And, you know, when I came to realize that, I thought, my, considering what I had in my heart to speak on tonight, I thought, wow, isn't that amazing? Jehovah hides or protects is the meaning of the name Zephaniah. And, you know, it's possible, as we read it, that he was a great-grandson of Hezekiah. If Hezekiah here mentioned in the first verse is that king, then that would be how he, you know, that would be his great-grandfather. And also, you know that Zephaniah is ministering during the early reign of Josiah, who was king of Judah. We are talking about a time period between 640 and 608 BC. And we believe it was prior to the time of Josiah's great reformation. And again, there were terrible things that were going on in Judea and in Jerusalem. And God knows that there is a day that the Babylonians will come in Nebuchadnezzar will come in and invade, and it's inevitable. It's going to happen, and we know that this prophecy deals with that. The fall of Jerusalem, which was in 587 BC. But these things that we are going to look at here in this first chapter of Zephaniah, I believe relate to these moments that we are living in right now. I know for sure that God does not change. He hasn't gone modern. He doesn't say, now this is, a different day, so, we think a little different. What the prophets wrote, those years before are now all different. I voided them out. That isn't true at all of God, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, it's declared, God declared, I am God, and I change not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. So let's look at this first chapter here. Zephaniah chapter 1. Praise our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have Wilds and Kevin here tonight. Wilds moved from Washington to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So praise the Lord. How amazing God is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this verse here. Verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. So this is the time period in which he is writing, and if Hezekiah here is Hezekiah, as we know him to be, then that would make Zephaniah the great-grandson of King Hezekiah. So if that is true, then we can, take it from there. But, again, the spelling is a little different. And, again, some of our thoughts are not always exact. Praise the Lord. Okay, but God is making some declarations in this chapter. And just basically, I'm going to tell you, at first, God is going to declare that he's going to consume all things, and he's going to list many different items under that which he's going to consume. And then he's going to talk about the Lord's sacrifice in verse 7. And then he's going to talk about whom he will punish. Verse 10 is going to tell us how it is going to happen. And then we're going to have, in verses 14 through 18, warnings that the time of this judgment is near at hand. And then, in the very first portion of the second chapter, we are going to read of the remedy. Praise the Lord. The Lord always gives hope. In the midst of every battle, every conflict, every problem, God gives hope. That's just the way he is. And I just think that's such a wonderful thing. We can always hang on to the promises of God. We can always know that they are yea and amen. And again, what he has declared, it will happen. Yes, amen. So as we read this first chapter, let's just keep in mind, yes, the days of God's judgment was forthcoming. And yes, he has not been happy with his people there. Already the 10 northern tribes have been taken away, and the 2 southern tribes have not done any better. And now their judgment is forthcoming. So this is a declaration concerning all of this. But I believe, again, as I already stated, that it relates very closely to these times that we live in right now. Amen. Okay, so verse 2 tells us, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. Here he is making this declaration. Oh my, he's had it, obviously. And that time of pouring out his judgment is at hand. And so he goes on to say, he gives, you know, the items of what he's going to consume here. Verse 3 tells us, I will consume man and beast. Then he says, I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Wow, this sounds pretty final, doesn't it? You know, he's going to consume man and beast. He's going to consume the fowls. He's going to consume the fishes. He's going to take away all their stumbling blocks, all their devices, all their wickedness, all their practices that have caused people to fall. And he declares he's going to cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. And then he goes on to be even more specific. Verse 4, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And then, oh my, you know, part of the problem. Oh, there's a reason for God's judgment. If they would have been keeping his laws and walking accordingly, there would not have been reason for judgment. But there were problems. They had not walked in the ways of God. They had not been faithful. They had done all kinds of abominable ways. They had gone after the abominations of the heathens and adopted those practices. So he says again, verse 4, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And then he says, I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. Oh, they had stooped so low to embrace Baal. Oh, yes, this heathen deity. Oh, to embrace him, to worship him. And he says, in the name of the Chemerims with the priests. And the Chemerims, oh, this was a group that had been appointed by the kings of Judah to go up into the high places and do their abominable things. Very sad. Their idolatrous practices, idolatrous priests, is what the Chemerims were. And then he goes on to say, and them that worship the hosts of heaven upon the housetops. That sounds like astrology. Is astrology around today? Oh, I'm afraid there's a lot of people that look at their horoscopes and, you know, don't move without consulting it. Well, that was a part of the problem here in this time period in Judah. And they were going to be cut off. Yes, they were going to be consumed, them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. And then it says, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Malcolm was a heathen deity. And you know, he was a false god of the Ammonites. And you know, the thing here, as I see it, there obviously were people that, you know, thought they could swear by the Lord and swear by Malcolm. And, you know, you can't do it both ways. You're either going to serve God or you're serving the devil. You know, you can't do both and be right. God doesn't have it that way. You can't serve God and mammon. You're going to, you know, you're going to hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. But it seems to me that, you know, there were those that, you know, thought they could do it both ways. You know, have a little bit of God and have a little bit of the heathen on the other hand. And, you know, this Ammon worship, this Malcolm worship, and Moloch was another name for this very false god. And, you know, there's all kinds of abominable connections with that. But this was one of the things that caused Solomon to stumble, for God to be angry even with Solomon And just rather briefly, I just want to just turn to 1 Kings chapter 11.
What?
1 Kings chapter 11. And here it tells us, if we just see just some of this, this is at the latter end of Solomon's life. And it tells us that he had loved many strange women. And, you know, it begins to name them. And it tells us that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And it tells us that his wives turned away his heart. And, you know, this is something to really consider. You know, it's a very serious issue. Sometimes mistakes are made and people marry the wrong person, and all at once that zeal that they had for the cause of the Lord is gone because that spouse turns their heart away from God, the first love that needs to be if we are serving God. And so it was with Solomon that his very many wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father, it tells us in verse 4. And then it begins to name some of the details here. Verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, and we just mentioned that there. We just read that there in Zephaniah, that reference to Milcom. And it tells us in 6, verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. See, there's that reference again there. And those gods were associated with human sacrifice. I don't know how he could stoop so low, but those wives, as it tells us, turned his heart away from God. And it tells us in verse 8 here, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrifice unto their gods. It tells us in verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. And there was going to be judgment that followed because of this. Verse 11 tells us, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding the days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of thy hand, out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So you see, there were consequences, and you know, it was never the same, because yes, there was a split. Rehoboam became king after Solomon died, and that kingdom was split. The northern 10 tribes to the 2 southern tribes, and it was never the same, but you could see why. There is a consequence to sin. Amen. Yes, God means what he says. Thankfully, in the days of Josiah, there was a reformation, and Josiah did get rid of the abominations, as we read in 2 Kings chapter 23. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But here, in this time, going back to the book of Zephaniah now, we see that this was a very real problem. As we just read in verse 5, God is talking about these things that he will consume. And again, them that worship the host of heaven under the housetops, them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. And then even beyond that, even beyond this idolatry and these abominations and the things that were embraced that never, never, never should have been embraced. It tells us in verse 6, and them that are turned back from the Lord. In other words, the backsliders, those that had lost their first love, those that did not have the zeal of the Lord, those that had gone into the ways of the world. And then it says, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him. Oh, it is so important that we put the Lord first in our life, that he would have that place in our hearts where there is nothing before our God. No person, no thing, you know, no desire before our God. He needs to be first. And here we see this long list of things that God was utterly disgusted with, that he was going to consume because it pleased him not. These things that had come upon the people, the things that they had embraced. Oh, it is so important to follow hard after the Lord, to really give him our hearts, to surrender our will, our ways. You know, every day needs to be given over to God. Every day is a new opportunity, and thank God, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, as Jeremiah declared in the book of Lamentations, the 3rd chapter. But, you know, we need to just make sure that he is foremost in our hearts. Otherwise, we have allowed idolatry to come in, to turn us away from our first love, from the Lord. So let's take these things to heart. Amen. So yes, there's the list of things that he will consume. It goes on to tell us in verse 7, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. And oh my, okay, there is a day of the Lord that is very close at hand. Oh yes, we have seen all these things coming to pass. And we stand right here at this moment, not knowing how many days are left on this earth. But for sure we know that our God is coming. And he is going to come to judge this world in righteousness. Amen. Oh, he is going to come. And oh, yes, there is a sacrifice that he hath prepared for his guests. Oh, that day of the Lord is at hand. Yes, he hath prepared a sacrifice for his guests. Revelation, the 19th chapter, just expounds on that a bit. If we just look here for a little bit here in Revelation 19, verse 11, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Oh, that's our God. That's our Savior coming back on the white horse, coming back as faithful and true. And he's coming to judge this world in righteousness and to make war, it tells us there, Revelation 19, verse 11. Verse 12 tells us, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Oh, praise the Lord, the Lamb of God. Oh, the Word of God that came, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, that was beholden by those that were alive at that point. Oh, yes, he's coming back, clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Oh, that sacrifice that he made, that blood that he shed for you and for me, that we might be his sons and daughters, that we might come to him and repent and give our lives to the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's coming back, amen, with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Oh, praise the Lord. God who was forever, oh yes, who made himself flesh to come and dwell on this earth that he might dwell among us and redeem us for himself. And here he comes. Oh, he promised, oh, that he would return. And here it is. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, all the redeemed of the Lord. And I believe at this point there's been the catching away of the body of Christ, those that of us who are alive and remain, and of course those that are dead come back, but you know their bodies are you know, reunited with the soul there at that point. And so here it is. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. See, we've all been redeemed. We've all been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, we've all been set free from sin. Amen. We've been overcomers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And here it is. Oh, that moment when all is coming to an end as far as the things here on this earth. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Oh, yes, he's coming. Oh, he's coming. Oh, with vengeance. Amen. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, praise the Lord, our Savior. He's not coming as a lowly babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. No, he's not coming like that at this time. No, he's coming with a name written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. The Almighty One coming to rule and to reign. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Coming to judge. And then it tells us, verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great King, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Oh my, the great supper of the great King. Such a description here. Verse 19 tells us, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Oh, the armies of this world, the one world come together sort of thing that, you know, coming to make war against God. How about that? How silly. And it tells us in verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Oh, what a description. What a day is before us. Oh, it's going to be worth everything to be on the Lord's side. Oh, yes, to be part of his kingdom, to be his sons and his daughters. Oh, yes. Oh, they're going to come to fight against God and his people. But oh my, we know how this story ends. So yes, our God will not be defeated, for indeed he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. So verse 7, back here in Zephaniah now. It says again, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. And oh my, I believe that relates to that 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. Oh, the forthcoming judgment as the Lord turns his two-edged sword against those that have opposed him, those that have done abominations, those, oh yes, that have not been right in his sight. All the strange things, you know, I was at the store, I believe that was yesterday, and there was an individual coming, you know, some walking, I guess it was out of the parking lot, or out of the store, I think, into the parking lot, and all I could say is, Lord, what is that? I mean, honestly, I could not tell. The head was shaven, and you know, short shorts, and everything else, but, you know, all I could say is, God, I don't even know if that is a he or if that is a she. You know, it is abominable in the sight of the Lord. Oh my, when we transgress his ways and do things that are abominable in his sight, he sees it. And oh, how he will judge it. You know, here it talks about, you know, the time of punishment when, you know, he doesn't, you know, look at the princes and give them special privileges.
What's the fish gate?
I'll get there in just a minute. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yes. There he's not going to, you know, give anybody special privileges. And those that are dressed in inappropriate apparel, strange apparel, there's that time of judgment. You know, we've got God's word, and you know, we are told, you know, it is abominable for a woman to wear anything that pertains to a man. And on the other hand, a man is not to put on woman's apparel. And I'll tell you what, you know, it certainly is not right, you know, to be dressed in immodest apparel. And then, oh yes, it goes on to tell us, in the same day also will I punish all that leap on the threshold. This sounds like witchcraft, you know, that kind of activity, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And oh, we know all the abominations, all the activity. Well, we don't know it all. We don't even want to know it all. It's, you know, not even good to talk about the horrendous things that are done in secret. But that day of punishment is coming for those that have violated God's ways. Amen. Who have filled their master's houses with violence and deceit. All the things there, the blood of the innocents, all the activities of the Wiccans, the witches on their Sabbaths, all what they have done in secret places, all the things that we don't even want to think about. God sees it all. And yes, that time of judgment will come forth. Praise the Lord. And then, oh yes, it begins to tell us in verse 10, oh God, it knows, yeah, we need details. So here, you know, he begins to give some details as how this will all come to pass. And of course, specifically, you know, the time of Nebuchadnezzar coming into Jerusalem and all is, you know, in the making. at this time that Zephaniah is prophesying. So now details that come forth in verses 10, 11, and even 12 has some details that relate. And so it tells us to answer that question. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. So, okay, all at once, there's going to be a very disruptive moment here, and a cry from the fish gate. And what we believe is related here is one of the gates that entered into Jerusalem, and probably the one that was near the fish market. I would think that's why that they would relate it as such. And so, I mean, you know, again, we probably don't know for positive, but that would be what we would consider there, that the fish gate was one of the gates leading into Jerusalem. And then, you know, it was one of the gates that, you know, came from the areas where the fishermen would often bring in their fish and all that sort of thing, near the fish market, I would suspect there. Praise God. And then, okay, so there's a noise. They crash it. They crash the fish gate. And then, you know, there's a second gate. And you know, once they're breaking through, obviously, the second gate. So there's a howling, you know. There's noise. I mean, there's something is happening. It's awful, you know. It's scary. And there's a great crashing from the hills. All this is coming to pass. And verse 11 tells us, howl, ye inhabitants of Mektesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And I believe the reference to Mektesh indicates that there in Jerusalem there was a portion of the city that was related to the Phoenicians. They were the ones that were merchants, and it seems like that would relate to them in particular here in this 11th verse, because it says, "How ye inhabitants of Mektesh," you know, they obviously are caught in this too, and it tells us all the merchant people are cut down. All they that bear silver are cut off. Okay, so, you know, the prosperity, you know, the things they did for a living, you know, suddenly there's an end to it. It's cut off. It's cut down. And, you know, it's over. It's over. And why? We look at verse 12. It tells us, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Sounds a little like Masonic doctrine right there. But oh my, see that complacency. Oh, hearts that had not been given over to the Lord, and they were there. You know, they were comfortable. They were settled on their lees, and you know, just, you know, at rest, so it seems. And, you know, they you know, had that opinion, you know, kind of nonchalant. The Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. You know, he's not going to punish us. You know, he's not going to bless us. And, you know, there's a lot of people that kind of have that kind of mindset. But God sees the heart. God searches the heart. God knows what is in the inside. And here it talks about, at this time, God is searching Jerusalem with candles. And of course, this is figurative in that sense, because it's the light of the Lord, the one who sees it all and who knows it all. And he's going to expose those things that are done in darkness. He's going to reveal those things that are hidden. Oh, yes. And so there's this searching of Jerusalem. And I believe, you know, figuratively with candles, because God is allowing this. This is coming upon them because of their disobedience, because of the abominations, because of the things in their hearts, their ways of thinking, all the things that they had accepted and embraced, the things that they had excused. And I say, you know, sin is excused. In this day in which we live, so many people just seem to think, well, everybody sins. You know, God's not going to be so fussy, you know, if I go down to the bar and have a few. You know, he's not going to, you know, think I'm some awful person because I do that. But God does have expectations of his people. Oh, yes, he sent forth the Holy Ghost so that we might know what is right from what is wrong. He expects his people, oh, yes, to have that kind of understanding. And, oh, yes, not to go along with the ways of the heathens, to do things that are abominable in his sight, not to have these kind of attitudes. Oh, it's so important. Oh, yes. To give our hearts over to the Lord. Oh, yes, to give him that sin. You know, surprise, surprise. Sin doesn't enter heaven. Jesus came to this world. Oh, yes, that he might take away the sin of the world. That is what happens when we repent. When we turn our lives over to the Lord. We give our lives over to the Lord. We give him that sin. And he takes it, which is so beautiful. He takes it. He died for us. He took that sin upon him on the cross so that we might have forgiveness, so we would not have to walk in sin. Oh, yes, I know at times we make mistakes, even when we're walking with the Lord and you know, we do things, but then it hits us. And thank the Lord, you know, we turn it back over to the Lord. We repent. You know, we don't want to have that on our back. You know, we don't want to be living in sin. We don't want to be caught in sin. Oh, no, we want to be right in the sight of God. When he comes, we must be right because he's going to judge. He's going to judge sin. It's right. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, that's why he came. The word Jesus or Hoshua means Savior. He came to save us from our sins that we might be freed from sin. Praise the Lord. And thank God we can repent. He is so faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If we will turn it over to him, oh, he's waiting for us to just, you know, tell him. You know, we might as well acknowledge it. We've all been sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the Word of God said there's none righteous. No, not one. You know, we all had that on our backs. But praise the Lord Jesus died so that we might turn it over to him in repentance. And then obey the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Praise the Lord. So yes, that penalty for sin is no longer there. It's not hanging over our heads. Praise the Lord. We are identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord that he promised to fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a joy, what a wonderful thing. But oh, that day of searching, oh, that day, you know, we need to search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. Oh, praise the Lord. We have opportunity right now to turn it all over to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, because yes, as it tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the verse 10 here in Jeremiah 17 tells us, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Or in other words, that's referring to the emotions. Even to give every man according to his ways. and according to the fruit of his doings. Oh, yes, there's a flashlight of the Lord. Oh, yes, God sees it all. God knows it all. Nothing is hidden from him at all. Not one thing, even though people try to hide. Oh, even try, you know, they try to, you know, put on a front so often and, you know, appear to be something that they're not. Oh, yeah, you know, they're holy, but, you know, on the outside, but, oh, Jesus exposed them. It was the religious people who gave Jesus the greatest grief, you know. Oh, the Pharisees and the scribes, oh, the Sanhedrin court, all those people were the ones, they thought, you know, they were fine. They didn't, you know, want to say that they were sinners. They didn't want to, you know, admit that they had done wrong. And so they couldn't be saved. They couldn't be reached. Oh, that's the only way the Lord can reach us, if we humble ourselves to admit that we're a sinner and that we need the Lord Jesus. We fall on our face before Almighty God. Oh, yes, in repentance. Turning it over to him and thank the Lord. He's so willing to forgive. Oh, he loves to forgive. It is his will that all would come to repentance. Praise the Lord. As the psalmist prayed in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Oh, yes, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Praise the Lord. Oh, we need the searchlight of God to search our hearts right now while we have opportunity to repent. Amen. To make those changes that are necessary. Yes, amen. So back here in Zephaniah, verse 12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. It says in verse 13, therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. Oh yes, the enemy confiscating their goods, their homes becoming a place of desolation, building houses and not being able to live in them, planting vineyards and not being able to drink the wine thereof. Oh God, yes, seeing it all, there are consequences to sin. Amen. And there he was bringing out consequences that would follow for those that were not right in the sight of God and doing abominable things. Amen. Okay, so then we go to verse 14. And here, we're going to read just, you know, these warnings that the time of wrath is very close at hand, that it is near. And here, we read a description of that time. And I think this relates very closely to these moments that we live in right now. It says in verse 15, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. You know, this is so interesting, because as I said, I believe this relates to our present time, as well as that time that was at hand in the days of Zephaniah. But oh my, note how it says the great day of the Lord is near, and then it's repeated again in verse 14, it is near. And then, oh yes, that description, oh yes, there, you know, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly, and you know, the fact that it's a day of wrath, it's a day of trouble, it's a day of distress, it's a day of wastedness, and a day of desolation, day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, and oh, you've got all the sirens going off. Oh, the trumpets in that time sounding the alarms against the fenced city. Oh, the noise, you know, oh, there's trouble. You know, there's, the warnings are there. And against the high towers. And this verse 17 is so interesting. Because, oh my, you know, I believe it you know, it just relates closely to a day that wasn't too long ago, what we refer to as 9/11, when all at once there was a great distress as two high towers suddenly collapsed, and the people that were trapped in them didn't know what to do. Oh, some got out, but many did not. Some jumped to their death. And some of them, oh yes, their blood was poured out as dust. As, oh yes, they either died in the trap or they jumped to their death. Their flesh became as dung. Oh yes, as those towers collapsed. And all at once, yes, God's judgment was apparent. Blood being poured out as dust. And oh my, I do think 9/11 was relevant. I note that in verse 14 it talks about the great day of the Lord, and the great day of the Lord also refers to the coming of our God. And that description very much fits the coming of our God, because He is coming to judge. And it is going to be a day of wrath. It is going to be a day of trouble and distress. It is going to be a day of wastedness and desolation. Oh my. It's going to be a great day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Oh, as our Lord comes forth to judge this world in righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord for those that are in the Lord Jesus. Because, oh my, it will be another story for God's people. It will be a day of gladness. Oh, a day that we have been waiting for. That day that we see our Lord. But for those that are not right in the sight of God, it's going to be utterly terrible. And oh yes, you know, that which happened there in New York City when those towers came down, you know, I saw, you know, clips, you know, where, you know, the people were getting out of there how they could, and you know, they were like blind men in the dust. The air was so full of all that was flying around. There was smoke, and there were ashes. There was debris and dust and everything else. Oh, you know, the blood poured out as dust. It just also relates to what happened at that moment. You know, God had given Pastor David Meyer that vision there before it happened. We were going towards Manhattan. We were in New York at that point. And we were on the ferry going over to Manhattan. And God gave David Meyer that vision where he saw that city in flames. And great destruction and great darkness. That area where the towers are, and you could, you know, you could glimpse them from the ferry as you were coming from Staten Island there unto Manhattan, and God showed him that which was to come forth. He wrote about it in the Last Trumpet newsletter before it happened. And then it happened. I remember that day, you know, he came into the house and he said, "Hey, put on the monitor, you know, it's happening just like I saw it." He said it was like seeing it for the second time, as those top towers had burst into flames and were collapsing, and everything else was going on, and people were dying. Oh, that day of God's judgment, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, as the prophet Joel declared, and then Peter on the day of Pentecost, in Acts, the second chapter, those wonders in heaven above and the signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke or pillars, it says in the book of Joel, the second chapter. Oh my, such a moment. And here in the 18th verse, it tells us here in Zephaniah chapter 1, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." And of course, that day came to Jerusalem and to Judah, where, yes, Nebuchadnezzar marched in, and Jerusalem was taken. Judah was taken. Oh, they had taken many people captive, and already many were taken captive. The temple was completely taken down. Oh, there was a great cry. Oh, there was great travail. Oh, there were great problems as God's wrath was being poured out. Oh, these are just little glimpses of what is yet to come. If we don't give our hearts to the Lord, if we don't repent, that day of judgment is coming forth. It is so needful that we turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus. It is so important that we repent. Oh, yes, and that we give Him our best. It is no time to backslide. It is no time to look back. We have to look up. We have to realize our redemption draweth near, and we must be ready. We must be clothed in His righteousness. There's no way we're going to make it otherwise. Oh, I pray that the Lord will get us ready. And I believe that call is coming forth. Those that have not yet entered into the ark, so to speak, who yet need to come to the Lord. You know, we still have some time. That door is not shut. It is still the day of salvation. We can still come to the Lord Jesus and give Him our hearts. Praise the Lord, we can still pray. Oh, we can still talk to Him. Oh my, oh yes, we can still communicate with our Lord. But that day is coming, and He is going to come as a thief in the night. Oh, He's going to come without announcement. And oh, yes, every eye is going to see Him when He comes. Oh, and those that crucified Him, those that pierced Him. Oh, yes, sir. All kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of Him. Oh, when your heart isn't right, when you didn't get ready. Oh, my, when you didn't give heed to the gospel. Oh, this glorious gospel. The Lord Jesus came to save us from our sins. Oh, yes, He came that we might set free. He came that we would not have to be condemned. Amen. We would not have to go to the lake of fire. He came so that we could be His children and have eternal life with Him forever in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, there is a remedy. Oh, praise the Lord. There still is time. And as we go into the first part of chapter 2 of Zephaniah, yes, we can read how we can yet obtain mercy. Here it says it. It says, "Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree come, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. See all the befores there? Oh yes, before the decree, before it all happens, you know, before it's too late. Before, you know, we stand before the Lord and we're either judged as his fruit or the chaff, the stuff that's of no good, you know, that falls to the ground, that has no value. We're either going to be on the right hand or we're going to be on the left hand. Oh, yes. Oh, we have opportunity now. Yes, it says before the decree come, bring forth. Oh, yes, get right now. Before the day pass, it's a chaff. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. And here it is, verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a hiding place in our God. Oh my, he knows how to keep us. But there is a secret place in the Most High God. There is a shelter from the storm. Oh yes, he knows how to help his people. Oh, he knows how to hide his people. He knows how to save his people. Our God, who is so loving and so kind. Oh, he knows how to help us. Oh, praise the Lord. There is that secret place with the Lord. He knows how to hide us. And we can come to him. Oh, so that he hides us in his blood. Oh, that mercy. Oh, the mercy seat of the Lord that prevails. Oh, yes. To make a way of escape for the people of the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, that need, if we will seek the Lord while he may yet be found, if we will call upon him while he is yet near. Oh, there is such a need. Yes, as it tells us in Isaiah 55, again, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And then it tells us how to do it. Verse 7 here in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, praise the Lord. If we would just turn our lives over to the Lord, he'll take our sins. Oh, he'll take them. Praise the Lord. He'll bury them in his sea of forgetfulness. Praise the Lord. If we will give them to him and forsake our ways, our evil ways. Oh, you know, the ways that we're not toward God. And our thoughts, the unrighteous thoughts that return unto the Lord. Praise the Lord and that promise. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for the mercy of the Lord. Oh, that fact that, oh, he gave me opportunity to come to him one day, to turn my life over to him. You know, I was like everybody else. I was out there. I was, you know, a naughty little girl. And you know what? I was only 8 years old, but there's plenty of rebellion in my heart. You know, I kind of thought, oh, I'm going to be like my mom and dad. You know, I'm going to do those other things. So I thought. But thank God for that day when he got a hold of me. Oh, praise the Lord. It was a message on hell, to tell you the truth. But oh, I know the Lord used it because, oh my, he worked in me. I couldn't wait to get to that front of the church, the place we call the altar, and kneel down and pour out my heart to the Lord. I couldn't wait to get there. All at once I realized how rotten bad it was and how I needed the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And thank God he gave me opportunity to turn my life over to the living God. Oh, thank the Lord for such a moment. Praise the Lord. And not only, oh, did he forgive me that day, but he poured out the Holy Ghost upon me. Praise the Lord. I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ the next Sunday. But thank the Lord, he got a hold of me. And thank the Lord, life has never been the same. He changed me. Oh, praise the Lord. He put a song of praise in my heart. He turned my life around. Oh, we were all headed toward the lake of fire. Oh, we were all without God. We were all without hope. But praise the Lord for the mercy of the Lord. Oh, the one who will abundantly pardon if we will turn our ways, our wicked ways over to him, the sin that does so easily beset us. We will turn to the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, and go forward to serve him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our might. Oh, yes, we definitely need to. We're living in the hour of his return, I believe. I believe he's going to come. It's going to come quickly. It's going to come unannounced. All at once, you will be here. We'll hear that sound of the trumpet. Praise the Lord. That cry, oh, as our God descends from heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. It will be salvation to his people. But it will be judgment for those that have not given heed. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We can seek ye the Lord. Ah, ye be there, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would talk to us. Oh, God, I ask the Lord that you would deal with every heart. Oh, God, you see every need. You know every heart. Your light, your searchlight is upon us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us. Oh, God, search our thoughts and see if there our thoughts would be, oh, God, anything, oh, God, that would be troublesome in thy sight. Oh, God, help us, O Lord, to give heed while we can. Oh, God, to enter, oh, God, into the way of holiness. Oh, to give our lives over to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, to turn from every evil way. Oh, God, that thy spirit fall upon thy people, Lord. Oh, God, that we might, O Lord, be found right in thy sight, Lord. Oh, God, with nothing to hinder. Oh, God, oh, nothing to hold us back. Help us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, oh Lord, let thy convicting power move in Jesus' precious name by the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Hid in the day of the Lord's wrath. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise our God. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 55 and sing Safe Am I, number 55. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Sheltered o'er, sheltered o'er, with his bread, for he keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Sheltered door, sheltered door, with his love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe will harm me, for he keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Sheltered door, sheltered door, for he keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of his hand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.